Because some of you think that you can handle Satan. You do. See, that's pride. But the very thing that you think that you're holding on to, that very thing is going to turn around and hold you. And it's serious business. Because before you know it, it's got you in bondage. And you don't know how to get out.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is How Satan Considers Us, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Our key verse today is going to be in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. The book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And today's sermon is How Satan Considers Us. How Satan Considers Us. Satan means in Hebrew, the accuser. And that's what he likes to do. He likes to accuse the saints, the believers, the Christians, night and day in front of the throne of God. He's the accuser. Okay, we're going to begin by reading out of the NIV. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. You think about that for a minute. Satan accused this man of having it so good that he had no reason to doubt God. He is telling the Lord that Job, because he has it so good and no worries, has no reason to curse God. So he's challenging the Lord, which we really can't challenge God because he knows the outcome of everything, does he not? But Satan is a fool. But here he is accusing Job, saying that if you test this man, he'll break. He'll break. Now, I want you to remember something. Satan wants to sift each and every one of you. He wants to test you. He wants God to give him the power over your life to test you and your walk with God. And here was a man that was blameless in front of God. And God gave Satan permission. Now notice that God had to give the permission. So now that we got a little bit of a background here, let's see what the devil, let's see how the devil considers us. How does Satan consider us? He considers us a marvel. When Satan finds Christians faithful to God, he considers it a phenomenon. He sees a Christian going through stuff, yet remaining faithful. He just can't get it. He thinks it is totally phenomenal. Faithful Christians, mind you. Faithful Christians. You can be a Christian and not be faithful. You can be a Christian on the wrong side of faithfulness. But when he sees a Christian walking in faith, it stuns him. It shocks him. He considers us to detect any flaw in us. Satan will study you and watch you and take note of every single one of your bad habits. And believe me, he knows more about your bad habits than even you know. But yes, he's looking you over to find out what your weakness is. He's looking you over to see a crack that he can slip into. He's looking you over to find an opportunity to get into your life and to destroy you. Now you might fool yourself and think, I've got it all down. Devil can't do nothing to me. But see, that's one of your flaws right there, is to think that you got it all, when it really is your relationship with God that protects you from Satan. But yes, he studies you. He's watching you. He wants to see what your weaknesses are so he can exploit them, take advantage of them, and use them against you. He chuckles over your secret sins when you do something that nobody else sees you doing in the dark, secret places of your life. He laughs. He giggles. He's overjoyed at your failure. Overjoyed over your sins. Think about that. Every time you sin, he's laughing. Each sin born in the believer's heart cries to him, "My Father, my Father." And he feels something like the joy of fatherhood pertaining to you. Remember what Jesus said in the book of John when he was telling the people, "You are the children of your father, the father of lies." He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. When a believer commits a sin, the devil feels a joy of fatherhood towards that person because you are doing his will. Jesus said that those who do the will of the Father are his disciples. So if you're doing the will of the devil, he considers himself a father figure towards you because you're following his example. Kind of disgusting when you think about it. This vile, evil, wicked creature chuckling over your sins with the audacity to think that he could be your father, having joy over your sins. He considers us barriers to the progress of his kingdom. Or at least he better. If you're a Christian and he's not seeing you as a barrier, you had better check your walk with God. But faithful Christians are a barrier to the progress of his kingdom. See, Satan wants to set up his own kingdom on earth, and he wants the rule, and he wants the power, and he wants to be worshipped. And if he sees a faithful Christian, why, he just sees an obstacle in his way. So don't think that being faithful gets you off the hook. Because in Satan's eyes, you are an object to be removed. You are an object to be attacked. You are a threat to him as a faithful Christian. Satan is aware that mournful Christians often dishonor the faithfulness of God by mistrusting it. And he thinks if he can worry us until we doubt the goodness of the Lord, he will have robbed God of his praise. Now, to break that down, you got a Christian going through some hard times, and they become mournful, and they start mistrusting the goodness of God and questioning it. Satan looks back at it all and he says, there goes your praise, God, because I have this Christian on their knees, but not in worship to you, but in brokenness. I have robbed them of their joy of their salvation. That's where he wants to bring the Christian. Does that make sense to you guys? He wants to bring you down so far that he wants you to lose trust in the goodness of God. You guys follow that? That he wants you to lose trust in the goodness of God? Because when you start mistrusting God, you stop praising God, don't you? You start saying negative things in your life rather than praising the goodness of God. You stop remembering the good things that God has done for you in your past, and you start focusing on your present condition. You start thinking about what's going on now, and you start forgetting about all of the other blessings that God had brought your way and how many times he saved you from the fires before. And so you stop praising God, robbing God of what he deserves most, praise. And Satan wants to put you in that position to where you'll do that. What does Satan consider about us? Satan considers our weaknesses. He studies us from head to toe, so that he will say of one, his infirmity is lust. Or another, she has a quick temper. Or he is proud, or she is lazy. Do you follow what he's doing here? He wants to label you with something. He wants to find your weakness, expose it, like we talked about a moment ago. And then he will accuse you of being that very thing. Have you guys ever looked in the mirror and you were feeling down and you heard the words, you're lazy? Have you ever heard the words, you're lustful, or you got a bad temper, and you just felt terrible inside, like you were never going to change, like this is who you were going to be forever? That's Satan accusing you. That's Satan labeling you. The point here is that you do not want Satan exposing those weaknesses in your life. He will take advantage of your weakness, and he will use it to the fullest extent so that he may gain power over your life. And believe me when I tell you this, when he gains power over your life, he is going to affect everybody in your life, your friends, your family, your loved ones. When he gets into one of your weaknesses, he is going to hold on and try to gain control of that. And if he gains control of that weakness in your life, he will manipulate you. And when he manipulates you through those weaknesses, he will harm not only you, but the people you care about, the people who are around you. If one of your weaknesses is drugs, and he exploits that in your life, and you give in to that weakness, who's going to suffer? You, your children, your family, your job, your coworkers? All of that he'll gain power over. He considers our state of mind. The devil knows when you're most vulnerable, and we're often overtaken through an unwatchful frame of mind. He's watching you, and he's waiting for you to do what most people do all the time. Drift in your thoughts. Get your mind thinking about something over and over again that is not of God. Now, you might be thinking, well, I don't think of bad stuff. I don't think of sexual thoughts. I don't think of hurting people. No, we're talking about your state of mind in general. Are your thoughts focused on God and His kingdom throughout the day? Or do you leave church here on Sundays and go about your life as if you never even attended church? Because that is exactly what He wants in the Christian. He wants you to leave church on Sunday and not give it any thought. Not give it any thought. So what a pastor teaches to you does not take root in your heart, because you're not thinking about it. You could be at church and not thinking about what I'm saying to you today. You could be drifting in your thoughts in church. And He's watching that. Are they paying attention when they go to church? They're showing up. But are they really listening to the pastor? He certainly hopes you're not. Because if you're not listening, you won't hear. And if you don't hear, you won't take root, right? The word won't take root. It won't take root. So it's as if you never showed up to church at all. Remember, He considers your state of mind, but He also considers your state of mind in the sense of, how's your emotions today? How are you feeling today? And how can I manipulate those thoughts? If you're in a bad mood, is she in a bad mood? Can I get her to do something mean? Can I get her to drift off to sleep in church and set a bad example for the rest of the people and embarrass her in front of everyone? Can I do that to her? Now, I know that this isn't one of those uplifting sermons where we're all going hallelujah and all of that, but you guys need to know that you have an enemy. And I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen the devil walk into Christians' lives because their mind wasn't right with God. And he just takes complete control over them. Not possession. I'm not talking about possession. I'm talking about control through mind manipulation, thought manipulation. He's paying attention to what you're thinking. You can't read your mind. But you know, you can look at a person and know what they're thinking sometimes. He's had a lot of time to think about what people are thinking about. The devil's been around a lot longer than any of us. And he studied mankind since the beginning. So he's got it down pretty good. Don't think that you can outsmart him. See, the devil's not stupid. He's just foolish. Do you understand the difference? You can have a lot of smarts and still be a fool. He considers our friends. This is something you guys probably didn't think about, did you? Among some people, I can scarcely sin. Among others, I can scarcely remain pure. Satan knows this and tempts us accordingly. You see, I can get around some people who are not Christians. And I can try to remain composed in my Christian walk. But if I stay around those people too long, they might rub off on me. My mother used to tell me, be careful of the friends you pick because you become like them eventually. If you hang around people who drink all the time, and that's all they ever do is go out and party and drink, chances are you're going to be invited to a few parties, aren't you? And you might say to yourself, well, I'll go to a few of those parties, but I won't drink. But then you're there a couple of times, and everybody's noticing that you never drink when you're there, and they start pushing drinks towards you. And the pressure becomes more and more until you finally look around the room and you say, well, there ain't none of my Christian friends around here. There's no Christian friends. No one's watching. I think I'll have a drink or two or three or four. And then you get it into your mind that since you have no Christian friends that hang around with this group, nobody knows what you're doing with this group of people. So why not hang out with them and go to church on Sunday and act as if nothing happened? Friends can be a blessing and they can be a curse. You need to watch who you call a friend. You need to watch who you call a friend. And what I mean by that is you need to assess their life and ask yourself, is that good for you? Not judging them. If they want to live that way, you can't force them not to. But you don't have to live that way.
And if you don't want to live the way some of your friends live, then you need to separate yourself from them, because of their ideals in life and their way of life can and will rub off on you sooner or later. And they're into something that is ungodly. They're going to eventually lead you into that same sin. And believe me, it's a lot harder to get yourself out of something than it is to get yourself into something. And you're going to have to do some serious praying to get out of it. He considers our condition in the world. He has different temptations for various people. Our position, capabilities, education, our standing in society may all be doors through which he attacks. Make no mistake that Satan will look at your condition in the world, and he'll have different temptations for each person. He will assess your temptation and mine, and he will bring that out. Satan will consider these temptations about you. And you know, he knows what makes you tick. He considers our condition in the world, and he has different temptations for various people. That includes all of you. That includes me. He considers our objects of affection. By blowing down the house where his children were feasting, Satan sought to derange Job's mind. He later used Job's wife. Did you know that Job's kids were all killed? All 10 of them. 10 of his children, all of them. Listen, guys, the devil has nothing off limits in your life. The thing that you hold the most dearest, the thing that you hold the dearest, he wants it. All 10 of Job's children died, including his wife. Because some of you think that you can handle Satan. You do. See, that's pride. But the very thing that you think that you're holding on to, that very thing is going to turn around and hold you. And it's serious business. Because before you know it, it's got you in bondage. And you don't know how to get out. You don't know how to escape it. And there's some things that you can pray to God about to get you out of, and he may get you out of it, but it might take a long time. It might take a long time. Not because he can't do it, but because there's consequences to it. So Satan's going to look at the things you care about the most, and he's going to try to take them from you. So if you love your children, if you love your family, if you love your friends, you better stay close to God, because the book of Job shows us that even when we are close to God, Satan can find a way in. A higher consideration overrode Satan's consideration. First of all, Satan intended to destroy Job and rob God of his glory. All the time, God was testing Job while glorifying his name. So see, Satan was trying to set Job up and rob God of his glory while God was working behind the scenes to test Job while glorifying his own name. God was using Satan as his tool to forge faith in Job and future believers. Now you see how foolish Satan is? He thought he could win over on God. But see, God had a higher consideration of us. The devil is the greatest of all fools. He has more knowledge but less wisdom than any other creature. And that says two things. First of all, he's smarter than you. Sorry, guys, you're not the smartest thing on the planet. He's smarter than you. But he's also a fool. But see, now you can't outfool him. You got to have God do that for you. Because he's not more foolish than you are, because you constantly fall for his tricks. If you didn't have the word of God, you'd still be falling for his tricks. Satan didn't know that while he was tempting Job, he was answering God's purpose. The Lord considered exactly how far to let Satan go. God says, thus far and no farther. God has to allow Satan to do whatever he wants to do in your life, but God has to give him that permission to do that. Do you understand that? Satan just can't come up and mess with you. Not as a child of God. He can't do that. But God has to tell Satan how far he can go in your life. He can't go any further than what God puts a limit on him to do. So Satan is under the reign of God. The Lord considered how to sustain his servant under trial. God poured secret oil upon Job's fire of grace while the devil was throwing buckets of water on it. Now picture this. Job is struggling here. But Job was under fire.
by the devil. And the devil was throwing everything he could at him, but he couldn't destroy the man. But all the while, God was pouring grace. He was pouring grace over Job. The grace of God. God was pouring grace over Job to sustain him. And the devil was trying to douse it with water. He was trying to destroy Job's fire for God. The Lord considered how to sanctify Job by this trial. Anybody know what sanctified means? It means to set apart. To be set apart. To be holy. We are called to be holy people of God. Job was a better man at the end of the story than at the beginning. God refined him through this trial. Did you know that whatever you're going through today, God is going to use it to make you a better person? Now, get it out of your mind that you're already a good enough person. Okay? Because until you get to the level of Christ, you're not there yet. Okay? God is still working on you. He's still working on me. God gave him twice the property he had before. God gave Job twice as much as what he had before. God made him a more famous man whose name will ring through the ages. Instead of influencing a handful in one neighborhood, Job has touched all of history. A few people could have learned from Job's example, but because he went through this fiery test, he has influenced people throughout history. Satan did not see this coming. See, God outsmarted Satan. Satan thought that if he got his hands on Job, he would destroy him and the example that he was setting to his neighbors and friends and family. But the exact opposite happened. Now Job has touched everybody that has read his story in history. The devil's evil plans ended up being the very thing that glorified God through Job. Whatever the devil is building up against you in your life right now, God is going to use that pile of trouble to uplift you with his righteous right hand. So in closing, if you want to make the devil mad, throw the story of Job at him. The story of Job is one of patience, faith, and hope. When you're going through trouble, you got to have those. Patience, faith, and hope. Come poverty, sickness, or death, let us never forget that God will deliver his people.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.